As a nation, we have to ask, when in God's name are we going to stand up to the gun lobby? When in God's name will we do what we all know in our gut needs to be done? Deer aren't running through the forest with Kevlar vests on, for God's sake.
The Second Amendment was not written in order to protect your right to shoot deer. It was written to protect your right to shoot tyrants if they take over the government.
Not 8 hours after a horrific shooting in Texas, Joe Biden goes on a speech about gun control. Here we go. Do you know what stopped that gunman in Texas? A bullet. And it is a tragedy that it didn't happen sooner. And here, President Sleepy Joe Biden, not 8 hours after that tragedy in Texas, is pushing gun control yet again. There's two things that Democrats do with a tragedy. They lie, and they immediately put it to use on one of their stupid policies. But the one thing that they don't really do is genuinely grieve. Because if they did, they would wait at least one day for those parents to put their loved ones in the ground. The truth is, my friends, that it is the negligence of the Democrat Party and every liberal in this country that has prevented armed guards from being inside every single school in America. Ultimately, though, there is only one person who is directly responsible for the deaths of those 21 people in Texas. It's not the gun lobby, it's not the president, it's not gun manufacturers, it's not Second Amendment advocates, it is one person, a wacko 18-year-old, and he deserved what he got. It's just too bad that a good guy with a gun didn't get him sooner. I'm telling you, my friends, if there's anything that gets me fired up, it's Democrats that take advantage of a tragedy, lie about it, and then use it to push one of their idiotic policies. Do you know how we know that the president was lying? Well, I mean, his lips were moving. But the guy that shot up that school in Texas had a handgun. It's against the law for someone who's not 21 years of age to carry a handgun, let alone purchase one. So the one tragedy that he was lying about last night is the very one that disproves everything that he is saying. God, this whole thing is infuriating. Well, anyway, good morning, my friends, and welcome to another episode from high above all other puerile and pedantic forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Ugh. I'm telling you, my friends, there's so much more about this that I want to yell about, but that won't get us anywhere. And it's certainly not going to bring back any of those people that needlessly died yesterday. The only thing that we can do that would make any difference whatsoever is to pray for those families. Pray that they find peace, if that's at all possible. All of them are going through a horrendous time that I hope that none of us ever have to experience. I can only imagine the loss of a child has got to be the most horrible thing that somebody can go through. So get down on your knees and pray for them, because they absolutely need it. I'm certain that almost everyone is asking this morning, how could this possibly happen? And some of us are saying, well, how could God allow this to happen? But you can't take God out of the schoolhouse and God out of the houses of government and God out of your own house and then ask, how could he possibly let this happen? Well, he didn't. We did. It is the height of hypocrisy to ask God to get out of all facets of our lives, and then when something bad happens, to ask him where he was and accuse him of being negligent. We're the ones that ask God to get out of our schools and our homes and our halls of government, not the reverse. If we truly want to solve the problems that we're facing, we need to turn our faces back to God. Without him, we have created a culture of death. We're living in a culture that enshrined a government policy that led to the deaths of 63 million babies. And then we have the gall to ask, why weren't you there when the madman went through a school and killed a bunch of children? if we're truly being honest with ourselves and with everyone else, and we want to solve all of the problems that we're facing, it starts on our knees. It starts in our hearts, with God, in our families, and in our government. God be with those families in Texas. Please come back into our lives, because clearly we are wholly inadequate of handling this evil on our own. There's just a couple of things that I want to point out about what our president, God, I can't even believe I have to say that, but what Joe Biden said yesterday. And then we have a great interview with a candidate for the Johnson County Commission, John DeMatteis. Before we do any of that, though, some completely egregious self-aggrandizement. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Sleepy Joe Biden and you have no idea what you're doing, well, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com. Pull up an article and educate yourself just like you should have been doing all along, but didn't. If you haven't registered for the Trump rally yet, you probably need to do that. That's happening this Saturday in Casper. The whole event starts at 1 o'clock and the president is scheduled to speak at 4. However, I will be speaking on the same stage as the 45th president of the United States. Trust me, you don't want to miss what I've got to tell everyone. President Joe Biden is an opportunist. He always has been. He's been pushing gun control his entire career, and he waits for a tragedy such as what happened yesterday down in Texas to continue pushing his leftist agenda. Here's what he said way before he was elected in an interview with Anderson Cooper.
So to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period.
And his whole thing about shooting deer and them wearing Kevlar vests, well, that's not new either. Listen to this.
I was down in southern Delaware, do a lot of hunting and fishing down there. And I was walking up one of the creek beds. And the guy standing there said, you want to take my gun? I said, I'll take your gun. He said, well, you're telling me I can't have more than X number of bullets in my gun. And I said, what do you think the deer you're hunting are wear Kevlar vests? What the hell you need 20 bullets for? You must be a hell of a terrible shot.
That was from a little over a month ago on April 11th. And just for good measure, here's another one. This one was a couple of years before the election.
There is no rationale to own a military-style weapon, an AR-15, that if you're a hunter and you need an AR-15, you shouldn't be out there hunting.
So anyhow, none of the things that Joe Biden mentioned yesterday are new. These are all policies that he's been pushing his entire career, sometimes in the same language. And this whole business about the crime rate going down when there was an assault weapons ban is total bullcrap. Yesterday, in his speech, he said, and I quote, I am sick and tired of it. We have to act. And don't tell me we can't have an impact on this carnage. Common sense gun laws won't prevent every tragedy, but we know they work. And then he proceeded to reference the 1994 assault weapons ban. But, according to American Military News, quote, in 2004, the Department of Justice, National Institute of Justice, issued a report stating that the ban did not actually reduce crime. Quote, we cannot clearly credit the ban with any of the nation's recent drop in gun violence, and indeed, there has been no discernible reduction in the lethality or injuriousness of gun violence, the report stated. End quote. And, as I mentioned in the middle of my tirade, that wacko that shot up a school yesterday was already breaking the law. It's illegal to carry a gun, if you're not a law enforcement officer, into a school. Second, he possessed a handgun. He was only 18. It is illegal for anyone who is not 21 to carry, let alone purchase, a semi-automatic pistol, or any pistol for that matter, inside a school or otherwise. So this spurious notion that we can pass a law and it's going to reduce crime is total hogwash. By definition, criminals do not follow the law. That's kind of what makes them criminals. Okay, so anyway, everything you heard from Joe Biden yesterday was total BS, like it always is. But what we are already seeing from gun-grabbing wackos on the left is they're using this incident in Texas, this tragedy in Texas, to push further gun control. And we already saw it. Some of the tweets that came out yesterday, I can't even read on this program, or I won't read them on this program, because they're so vile. But that's what they always do, and that's what you're going to see in the next few weeks. That we have to stop gun violence, and we have to pass gun control. Listen to us. We'd never lie to you. Yeah. Right. Moving on. I had a great discussion with candidate for Johnson County Commission, John DeMattis. We did the interview about a week ago, and yes, it's before the end of the filing period, but the guy's already got his campaign signs all over his truck, so we may as well play this one. We'll do that after the break, but first, let's pay some bills. We'll get back to one of the people that's going to defeat Bill Novotny on the Johnson County Commission in just a second. But first, a completely obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a giant roping arena or an enormous warehouse, well, then you need to call my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. 307-674-2532. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do it better than anybody else around. So it doesn't matter what you've got cooked up in that brain of yours, whatever size building you need, give Nick and Jesse a call, and they'll handle all the details. Again, 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Right now is the highest we've ever seen gun markets, and the best performers are the vintage collectible firearms, Winchesters, Colts, and rare military weapons. Over in Cody, Gunrunner Auctions is one of the leading online auction houses in the country, and they're celebrating their 23rd year. Gunrunner Auctions is unique in that their specialty is estate firearms. They get calls all week long about lifelong gun collections coming to auction. Scott Weber, the owner, has been into firearms for almost 60 years. Now, he'll travel to the estate, and first he appraises the firearms for the heirs, and then takes them to his Cody auction facility, where he and his team research them, sometimes getting factory letters from the Cody Museum, to learn more about each firearm's history. Every month, beginning on the 7th, Scott and his crew post 500 fine firearms for sale. All of them start at $20 with no reserves. Gunrunner Auctions charges only 15% for selling your firearms. They've sold the personal collections of Elvis Presley, Steve McQueen, Alex McCord, and Herb Parsons, to name a few. With their 40,000 bidders in all 50 states, they'll realize the highest prices for your precious firearms. That's GunrunnerAuctions.com. The auction of the week is lot number 499. It's 280 rounds of .30-06 ammunition. It's an M2 ball, 8-round, N-block clips. It's in a green military can, and right now, the current bid is only $180. A steal. So if there's a gun, or accessory, or ammunition that you don't even know that you want yet, go to GunrunnerAuctions.com and you'll probably find it. Don't forget to reach out to me on social media. We've got the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page, or Twitter, or Truth Social, or just about any of the other ones. Just search for my name, David Iverson, and you'll find me. And now, back to the program. Here's my discussion with John DeMattis. Along with all of the races that Cowboy State Politics is covering statewide are some local races. And one of them that's in my backyard is the Johnson County Commissioner's race. And I'm joined right now by John DeMattis, who is running for one of those seats.
Hello, Dave.
Morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
So first question I always ask everyone on Cowboy State Politics is, it's not really a question, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, Dave, I bought property in Johnson County 25 years ago and moved up here full-time just a little over 20 years ago. And I chose Wyoming, like a lot of folks did, because of lack of taxes, lack of people in the mountains. And as I've worked over the last 20 plus years in this area, I decided that it was time to get involved. You know, as most Wyomingites find out, you know, they go to the voter box and they hit Republican. And they haven't really dug deep behind that because they don't have the time and the energy because they're working two or three jobs, just like I did. And after retiring about a year and a half ago, I determined that it was time to get involved.
Okay, was there any one particular thing that made you decide, yep, we're going to run for county commission?
Well, I debated a long time on what to actually run for. I live in the county. I don't live in the city, so I can't be a city councilman or mayor. And I could have run for a state representative position, and I decided that I'd like to start local because I think, to me, it starts in your own backyard, and my backyard is Johnson County.
Okay. So what are the main issues? Give me like one or two of them that Johnson County citizens are facing. What are the main two things that you want to work on?
Well, there's a multitude of things, obviously. I think, as everybody here knows, you know, the growth that's happening in Johnson County is going to be tremendous over the next couple of years. It's already started booming. And I think the county needs to plan for that probably in a better way. And at this point in time, you know, there's multitude of developments out there that could bring literally hundreds of new homes into the city and into the county. And we need to be aware of that, you know, whether it's water or whether it's sewer, you know, how are we going to manage that growth? Are we going to be able to maintain the roads into the county? You know, there's a multitude of things. One of the other things that really concerns me is you've got 22 boards and 10 special districts out there. And between those boards and between the county itself, there's almost $80 million in reserves. And there's another big chunk of money coming in from the Carbon Creek settlement. And there needs to be a plan to use this money. You know, most of these boards don't have the capital needs that some do. You know, like you, for example, on a solid waste board. You know, you've got money in reserves, and what's it for? It's to build a new dump, and we're at that point where you're going to build a new dump.
Which we're doing right now, by the way.
Yeah, so good use of money. There's a lot of other boards that have millions in reserves that don't need those, you know, capital expenditures. And I think that it's time to take a look at how much money they're drawing and where they're drawing it from and, you know, make a plan for it.
Well, let's be honest. Those reserve funds, they're not reserves. That's taxpayer money. That's money that people have been taxed on their property, and it's just sitting in the bank for the most part.
Right. And wouldn't it be nice to be able to maybe take some of that Carbon Creek money and apply it to property taxes? That's the other issue that is going to be a huge issue in the county, whether it be for ranchers or homeowners. You know, as property values have literally almost doubled in certain places over the last couple years, our property taxes are going to jump in the same way. And I'd hate to see a lot of family ranches be run out of business because they can't afford property taxes. I've got a personal friend here who's been living in the same house for the last 45 years. She's retired. She's, you know, doesn't, you know, she's got a set income. Two houses on her block sold this last year, and there was another little McMansion put down on the corner. And she's just, you know, afraid of what's going to happen to her over the next couple years and with her property taxes. If they double, she might not be able to afford her home, and that's not right.
Well, and a lot of that could be fixed if we move to an acquisition-based tax assessment. And, you know,
I would love to see something like that.
Yeah, of course, that has to happen at the legislature.
Correct.
But guess who lobbies the legislature on behalf of the counties? It's the county commissioners.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about another topic.
So one of the bigger issues coming up is the whole water issue, right? I've been going to some of the water development meetings or whatever you want to call it. The most recent solution that they've talked about, and they're supposedly moving forward on, which is going to be a multi-year task, is the Bull Creek Reservoir. The last number that they put on that was about $130 million, and I've heard that it could be upwards of $300 million to build that reservoir. Now, would that be a good solution? Yeah, it'd be a good solution. It would take a multitude of years to build, probably 6 to 10 by the time they got through regulations. And then you go, there's no way, one, that the county could afford that themselves, you know, yet there obviously have to be state money as well as federal money that would support something like that. And there are other solutions out there. You know, you could pipe water out of DeSmit, you know. The last number that I heard on that was about $1.8 million to do something like that.
So, we'd have affordable. To have state funds to do it.
Correct.
Okay. So another issue seems to be a big one in Johnson County is our workforce or lack thereof. So in your estimation, what could be done to first get people to fill almost all of these positions that are available in the town? I mean, everywhere you go, there's a help wanted sign.
Everywhere you go, there's a help wanted sign. I experienced a whole lot of that when I owned Up in Smoke. You know, so trying to find help in this town is difficult. And I think the biggest issue is affordable housing. Okay. And I think in some form or fashion, that's what we need to circumvent that issue. One of the things that I see happening in the county and the city as well is the folks that are moving here aren't work related. They're retired or about to retire, or they're, you know, telecommuters and they're working out of their homes and they're not going to be looking for a job locally. You know, ideally, a lot of the restaurants might be able to take advantage of their children potentially, but a lot of those kids, you know, either the families don't have kids or the kids don't want to work or they're doing other things. So it's a real issue. I question how government gets involved to solve some of those things. I would think the opportunity would be for some individual to build more apartments in town and affordable apartments.
Okay, so we all know that one of my big hang-ups is taxes and government involvement in everything. And it seems in Johnson County that the government is involved in everything.
Like, they're involved in everything we do everywhere, David.
Well, that's
Tell
true.
Tell me something that we do that isn't taxed or regulated.
So in
I've been looking for that for 20-plus years now and haven't been able to find it.
So in the spirit of small government and cleaning up my own backyard, what would you do to help get Johnson County out of its high level of involvement in everything?
That's a long-term plan. And I think the key is, first, you got to look at these, you know, 22 boards and 10 special districts. And you got to make sure they're managing their money the most efficient way to benefit the county and the city. One of those good examples is the Rural Health Board. You know, there's a little contention going on in the Rural Health Board. They just spent $80,000 out of their reserves to buy a piece of property from the fire district to potentially build something long-term to have, as they said in the meeting week before last, four full-time EMTs for Johnson County that live at this ambulance barn.
Do we need all of that?
Well, at this point, I was at the meeting last night, and there was 45 ambulance calls last month.
45.
There was a multitude of those calls that were transfers. So, you know, four full-time people is a hard nut to swallow. I understand you have to have two on you know, board at all times. I think the system we have now is affordable. You know, the price tag to four full-time people and as well as building the facility to manage that and house the ambulances is it's a big nut to swallow. And I can tell you that what I've seen with what their reserves are at this point in time, as well as how they're pulling from reserves to cover their budget this year and to spend money on this property, it's going to be difficult for them to do it with their current rate of tax. They're at 2 mills at this point.
Okay, well, this is going to be a long campaign, and we haven't even, the filing period doesn't even open until Thursday.
And I will be filing Friday morning.
Excellent. So if people want to get in touch with you or to pick your brain, how do they do that?
I've got a Facebook page, John DeMattis for Johnson County Commissioner. I've got an email address, jd.johnsoncounty@gmail.com. And they could call me if they'd like at 307-689-5670.
Okay, John, thank you for taking the time to sit down with me, and keep in touch. You're welcome back on the program at any time you like.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Since that interview was taped, a week or two has passed. Now, here we are on Wednesday, and the filing period closes on Friday, May 27th at 5 o'clock. There are a ton of offices that are up for election. Every city, every county, and across the state. If we truly want to change how our government is operating, it's going to take our involvement. Look through the list of offices and see what you can do. I promise you can find something.
whether it's on a local county board, or if it's the city council, or if it's the county commissioners, or at the precinct level. In Johnson County alone, where I live, there's over 50 offices that are up for election. I promise you, if you look through that list, there's at least one office that every single one of us could fill and make a difference with. So do it. Go to your county clerk, look through the list, and sign yourself up. If it's not for one of the big ones, sign up for your precinct. More often than not, those precinct positions become some of the most important in the county. Have a good rest of your week, and I'll see you all at the Trump rally. On Saturday's installment of Weekend Update, we'll have just a brief episode, and then when I return for Morning Reload, I'll give you all the details from the Trump rally. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.